practical web accessibility tips. Hello and welcome to WebAx podcast number 62, Web Accessibility News. This is your host, Dennis.
And I'm Ross.
Hello, Ross.
How's it going?
Good. Glad to have you back.
Yeah, thanks. Glad to do another podcast.
Yeah, we should have all kinds of interesting... There's no real one subject today. We're covering... There's so much happening lately that we're going to be covering a bunch of different things. So lots of cool stuff. Stay tuned.
Yeah. Felt like we could just kind of update on everybody on what's going on and the accessibility world. And luckily there's a lot going on. Keeps things interesting.
There sure is. Something from input from Web Standards Group, from... Adobe and Joe Clark and everybody else. So, yeah, I don't think you could hear it, but next door they're doing all this kind of major construction. I don't know, they're tearing up the back brick patio or something and making lots of noise. So that's kind of an interesting going on lately.
Hopefully it's not too loud. Is it inconvenient at all?
A little bit, but I think the worst is over. When I was at my day job the other day, they was the worst part. My wife said that they were bringing up concrete and everything, smashing it all up, like, right next door.
Yeah, no, I can relate. We moved into a new office at the beginning of the year, and they started renovating the floor above us. They're going to put in an art gallery. And, yeah, so they were doing the floors and, you know, knocking down walls, and we were right below, and it was really loud.
Sounds nice.
Yeah, but they gave us a...
Well, not for the construction, but the an art gallery.
No, it is. It's a nice art gallery. We went up there for the grand opening. It was pretty cool. And they gave us Starbucks gift cards.
Awesome. So, that's really awesome.
Yeah. So, and we've been drinking a lot of Starbucks lately, cool. Which is right next door. So, hey, works out.
Yummy.
Delicious. So what else has been going on with you?
I joined Twitter finally, so I've been Twittering.
Yes, I'm on Twitter also. It's surprisingly addictive, isn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty cool, yeah. Actually, I should go on there right now and leave a message now. Yeah, it's pretty cool. It can import all your, look at all your email addresses from like a webmail account or whatever and ask you if you want to invite, you know, your friends or whatever. So I got you on there and some other folks. So Christian Heilman Twitters a lot, I noticed. Talks about all the crazy Dom scripting stuff going on in his life. So.
Yeah, it's fun, you know, to be able to kind of watch and see what people are doing. I've got some people who Twitter 10 times a day and some who are once a week, but I like it. For whatever reason, I like it.
I like it because you could, like, send a message from your phone or from your, you know, your instant messenger or whatever. It's pretty neat.
Yeah.
Very hip. And Paul Boag likes it, too. Of course, he's hooked.
Yeah, I've got him on my list.
Anyways, okay, we better move on. Hey, you had a Refresh Detroit meeting the other day, huh?
Yeah, we had somebody from TechSmith come in and talk about usability and user experience and how they made a new version of the product Snagit, which is a screen capture tool, and just by changing and improving the user experience of using the software, their conversions went way up from their trial downloads. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Is it out right now, the new version?
Well, they did the last version. So they went from 6 to 7, and that's what they were talking about.
Now they've got
a version 8 coming out that they improved even more. So stay tuned for that. But, yeah, we had a big turnout. A lot of people were interested. We got some free swag. So
nice. It was good. Nice.
It was very good.
And for those of you who are unfamiliar, Ross and I started Refresh Detroit a while back, and since then I've moved to California. But hey, you know, I'll be in town for a week in at the end of July.
Oh, okay.
At least I think so. So we'll definitely have to hook up this time.
Yeah. Well, maybe we can schedule Refresh Detroit for that week, and it can be like a coming home party.
Yeah, you've been doing it on. Is it usually the last Wednesday or something? Or
yeah, that's what we try and do. The last Wednesday, or sometimes the fourth Wednesday, if there's you know,
okay.
Crazy month.
Well, yeah, we'll have to figure that out.
Yeah, sounds good.
And anyone else in the Metro Detroit area, come to Ann Arbor, wherever the meeting is. It's very fun.
Yeah, good people, good information. I highly recommend it.
Yeah, the last guy that spoke, is his name Brian?
Yeah.
Yeah, he emailed me. We've emailed a couple times. He seems like a real cool and knowledgeable guy. I really liked his website, too.
Yeah, the guy who spoke before talked a lot about
JavaScript libraries or something.
Yeah, building your own JavaScript library. So he's a big Java developer. But said that even if you're using like different libraries like jQuery, which he really likes, and actually I started using and love, said that you should build your own libraries that kind of tie into those and how that helps and increases or decreases development time and stuff like that. So that was another good one.
Cool.
Yes.
Let's see. Obviously, we're doing kind of like the announcements phase of the podcast. we're still getting to the news, but one more item. Ross, you wanted to mention the Digital Bus podcast?
Yep. So I'm just doing yet another podcast. And this one is with my business partner. And we're talking about kind of digital marketing techniques and digital communication techniques. It's called the Digital Podcast. So we'll talk about Twitter or Facebook or building websites, search engine optimization, all that.
Wow, so you're interested, doing three now?
Well, I don't know if I'm going to be doing that other one. I was doing one about web design and marketing, and I got about 10 episodes done and figured it's really hard to do it by yourself. So.
And since then, your company is merged, so you can kind of just replace it with this one.
Yeah, I think I'm just going to roll it all into this one. So it should be good. We did our first one on Wednesday, and posted it up. So if anyone wants to listen to it, it's thedigitalbus.com.
Awesome. What is it? The Digital Bus?
Yep, thedigitalbus.com.
Digitalbus.com. Okay. Okay, cool. Yeah, check that out.
Yeah, we'll our tagline is get on the bus. The Digital Bus, yes.
That reminds me of Magic Bus by The Who. Magic Bus!
Classic.
All right, so off to our quote-unquote main segment, web accessibility news. WebEx. The first thing I just wanted to mention is HTML5 and accessibility. Who knows how long it'll be till HTML5 becomes official, but there's a lot of talking going around about it. So I did do a quick post about it and just some accessibility related like attributes that were going to be phased out with HTML5, and I thought that was worth as just, you know, like an FYI to post down there. And I got a few comments from people, and one of them was from Laura Carlson of the Web Standards Group. So she sent a nice comment with a bunch of links on there, some important stuff. So if you haven't seen it, check it out. And maybe in the future, you know, we'll do a full podcast on HTML5 and accessibility, but we'll see how things pan out.
Sounds good.
Let's see.
So what is the Wave toolbar and blog available?
Yeah, next is Wave from WebAIM, some of our favorite people. Jared Smith, just a week or two ago, announced Wave 4.0 beta. And that's a toolbar that they've had for a while, and they made some pretty major updates and improvements to it. And there's a Wave Firefox toolbar also that installed with no problems. But basically what it is, it's a, you know, a automated accessibility checker. So, of course, it's nice to use those tools, and there's other things you need to check manually, but that's another story.
Yeah, you never want to rely on them, but it's good to have them.
Oh, yeah, for the basic stuff, and yeah. And we've done a whole podcast on testing for accessibility. But yeah, I just thought I'd give that a mention because the Wave tool, I think, is one of the better ones out there, and it's just, it's pretty fast and it's just straightforward and just easy to use. So check it out.
Excellent. It looks like we have a reference card for accessibility.
Yeah, this is something pretty recent from Andrew Kirkpatrick, the big guy at Adobe.
Yep, who we've interviewed.
Yes, and he runs the Adobe accessibility blog, and he very recently posted it's a PDF you can download, an accessible PDF. It's a reference card, and it's for creating accessible PDFs. So the reference card is in PDF format, and there's two pages, and one page is how to. It talks about PDF creation from Word. Just to clarify, because you know, so many PDFs are made from Word. So one side is a neat guideline on how to use Word, to the best way possible for creating a PDF and just, you know, prepping your Word document. And then the second page or the other side of the reference card is actually creating the PDF and what settings and everything you need to do. So it's a really neat reference card. Check it out. It's just, there's some like simple steps and he's got all kinds of diagrams and screen captures and stuff to explain it. So
excellent.
Yeah. It's pretty neat.
Yeah, very handy to have. I mean, a lot of people, I think, don't take the time that they should when creating PDFs.
Yeah. And you can, you know, print it out and just, pin it up on your cube wall or whatever.
So that we can all read PDFs.
So, thank you, Andrew Kirkpatrick, for that.
Yeah, handy tool.
The next thing, I just wanted to mention, we don't really cover this aspect of accessibility, but for anybody out there that does or is interested, it is pretty interesting, is the UAAG 2.0 first public working draft is out from the W3C. And what that is it's kind of like the WCAG, Web Content Accessibility Guidelines, but the guidelines aren't for content. The guidelines are for the actual user agents. Or browsers, if you will, guidelines for user agents for accessibility.
Yeah, and that's real interesting because there's a lot of debate as far as what's the job of the user agent versus what's the job of the website.
Exactly. So, UAAG 2.0, that stands for User Agent Accessibility Guidelines. And it is interesting just to see, you know, like, because there are debates out there as, like, you know, the first thing that comes to mind is the whole text resizing thing, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, browsers.
Yeah.
How hard can that be? Anyways, so check that out. Let's move on.
So then, our friends at the WCAG Samurai have released a new update, which is interesting because we're kind of at this period where everybody has to decide what guidelines do you want to follow.
Yeah, and so pretty recently, Roger Johansson has blogged about the Samurai, and that's how I actually learned about it. He noted how this is probably the last update to the WCAG Samurai. And we did a podcast on this. So if you're unfamiliar, it's web accessibility or accessibility guru Joe Clark has an errata or his own like updates to WCAG 1.0 to bring it up to speed with the modern world of web coding and accessibility. So, and he's made some final changes, what appears to be final changes, because hopefully WCAG 2 will be coming out at the end of the year or something, but we'll see.
So, I mean, I know initially he made the WCAG Samurai because a working document of WCAG 2 came out, and he thought that it was kind of missing the point and really a step back. As he's saying now that this isn't necessarily a replacement for WCAG 2, but just an update until WCAG 2 comes out, or does he still think, does he still think it, WCAG 2 is not the way to go?
I'm not sure about that. Well, I know it's not, it's definitely not a replacement for WCAG 2.0.
Yeah.
It doesn't take 2.0 in respect, it doesn't, it just kind of ignores WCAG 2.0.
Yeah.
This is a fix for WCAG 1.0.
Yeah.
And I get the feeling he did it, kind of until WCAG 2.0 comes out.
Okay.
That's how I understand it.
I thought, yeah, for some reason, I was under the impression he did it because, he didn't like where WCAG 2 was going, and he said, well, this is what I think you should be paying attention to. This is what this group thinks you should be paying attention to in terms of WCAG. Or web accessibility.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought they were, his initial couple drafts were really good. They're a little more familiar to me because they felt a little bit more like the 1.0 guidelines than 2. But
yeah. Yeah, but the Samurai is really good. So if you're not familiar with that, with that errata or that documentation, check it out. It's not real long, it's straight to the point, and it's now available in PDF format too. So
that's great. And we also did a podcast that kind of dissected one of the drafts.
Yeah, that was a fun podcast.
Yeah, so if you're interested in it, check that one out. There's plenty of ways to kind of get your head around what Joe Clark's doing.
Yeah, that was, I think, a really good podcast because, it really examined WCAG 1.0 and, and how things have changed and what you should be doing now and everything, so.
Yeah.
That was cool.
Definitely.
Okay, moving on.
So WCAG 2 is getting close.
Yeah, that's a good segue. WCAG 2.0, the final draft, called the Proposed Recommendation, could be available the third quarter of 2008. Okay, so maybe the final draft won't be done this year, but so if the final draft is done the third quarter or maybe fourth quarter, then hopefully early next year, the full version will be released. So take it as you will.
Yeah, and that's exciting. Hopefully we can finally get that done because WCAG 1 is terribly out of date, and the WCAG Samurai is not 100% final, I don't believe, so we need something.
And just to elaborate on that, let's see. I'll just read from the W3 website. The WCAG Working Group anticipates publishing the WCAG 2.0 as a candidate recommendation in April or May 2008. The focus will then be on collecting implementation experience from web designers and developers using WCAG 2.0 in their web projects. Oh, that's interesting. So after this candidate recommendation is out, they're looking for people to actually use it in their web projects and then provide feedback.
Huh. Well, that's good. I think, practical application
uh-huh.
is a really good way to figure out if it works or doesn't work. I mean, you can theorize and talk all you want about, oh, this would be a great idea, but maybe not, once you try it.
And they say the working group has resolved most of the 200-plus editorial and technical comments on the last draft, so very good. Cheers to anyone who's gave some feedback on that, and we'll see how the next draft is.
Great.
I don't foresee really that many changes.
I hope not. I mean, if they're kind of getting good feedback each time, you'd think that it would diminish and go quickly.
It's like I lost track how long they've even been working on this thing.
Oh, I know. But it's making progress. You know, they at least had the word final in there. Even if they could do a post final draft.
Totally. Okay, next item. There's an interview with Sean Henry of the W3. And if I'm not mistaken, she's one of the big accessibility folks over at... The W3C, WAI.
Yes.
She's a major person at with the Web Accessibility Initiative group. And there's a neat interview with her that you can listen to or read, and we'll post that link on this podcast post.
Excellent.
And that is from Radio New Zealand. I don't know exactly, but something in New Zealand. So thanks to you, New Zealand.
Thanks for caring.
Radio New Zealand National. So I suppose that's some kind of national radio show over there.
Yeah.
But there's a link on that article, so if you're really interested, you're welcome to it.
Yep. Well, this next article I really liked. It's by our friend Mike Cherum at the Green Beast blog.
Green Beast.
Yeah. So he's beasting it up and did a post about our lists becoming the new tables, which I think is interesting because I think people use lists for a lot of things that don't really make sense as lists.
Yeah, yeah. And he's mentioned, I think he's mentioned it before, as one of the overkills of... you know, web development or web accessibility is like, you know, overdoing things, and one of the items was, you know, overdoing lists, so he really calls it out here. And I really, yeah, the approach he takes is really funny, how everybody used to overuse tables.
Yeah.
So now our lists becoming the new tables, or is everybody overusing lists, which, you know.
Some places, I think, yeah, definitely. I've seen, and he mentions this, I've seen an article where, somebody tried to make the argument that you should make your whole site an ordered list because, well, number one is the header. That's the first thing you see. Number two is the left column, which is the main content, and then the side content, and that's the third item in the ordered list. But that doesn't really make sense.
No.
Yeah. And he said even like a calendar, he thought, you know, people make lists out of calendars because it's easy and you can, you know, style the LIs and everything, but it doesn't... It's not semantic. You know, a calendar's not really a list of dates.
Yeah.
And he even argues that for a calendar, a data table is actually more semantic.
You talking about the guy that, in the comments?
No, this is in his...
This is a different guy.
This is Mike himself. He goes in and talks about... a list calendar, you know, and talks about why list for a calendar is bad, list for web pages, in which, yeah, he describes, you know, unordered list for the entire website, list for addresses, that sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah, that's pretty much overkill.
Yeah.
But in the comments, there's some good comments, a fair decent list of comments that are pretty interesting to read through, and I left one also, and agreeing that lists are definitely not the way to go for calendars. And that, you know, I think sometimes people use lists just because it's easier for them for the CSS or something, you know?
Yeah.
But it's not really a good, semantically, it's not really correct. Yeah, so check out that article. Another good one by Mike Cherum at the Beast blog, Green Beast.
Yep, and he has a lot of great ones. You know, I think everybody who is interested in accessibility should pay attention.
So moving on, let's just briefly mention IE8 here.
Yeah.
Just because, it's gonna be coming out. When is it supposed to be coming out, anyways? Next, do you know?
I'm not sure exactly. I know they've got a beta out, and I've kind of played with it.
Have you?
Yeah.
My main the main issue about it, at least in the blogosphere, is this the version targeting.
IE8.
Yeah. So originally, they were gonna IE8 was gonna default to like Quirks mode or IE7, you know, mode.
Yeah.
And then Microsoft like got smart, and they changed their mind, and they've recently announced that by default IE8 will run in IE8 mode, which is standards compliant. Yay!
So basically, yeah, they developed this idea that they can do version targeting, meaning you can tell IE8 to behave like any older version of IE8, so that if your site breaks in IE8 but works in IE7, you can say, hey, I want it to look like IE7. Sort of like the doc type initially. But it has some problems because, yeah, first they wanted it to default to behave like IE7 regardless, so it wouldn't break sites by default. But a lot of people didn't like that because it kind of lets people who are ignoring coding to web standards continue to ignore it.
So it's good that by defaulting to the IE8 or web standards mode, that Microsoft is finally swallowing the their pride and just like basically admitting that you should be using web standards. So that's very cool. And List Apart has a couple good articles about it and everything.
Yeah, I mean, even Zeldman chimed in for a while, which is cool.
And maybe sometime in the future, I'm sure we'll do a podcast about this IE8 and accessibility.
Yeah, definitely. It's a major player, you know, biggest browser share is IE, so we will talk about it.
Real fast, what are your preliminary thoughts about IE8 since you've dabbled in the beta?
Well, I mean, I just kind of downloaded and clicked around, and it still seems like some of the ideas they've had that are good still aren't quite working out, like the Zoom. And this is something that Roger at 456 Brea Street mentioned, is that the Zoom function still doesn't work very good. You can get scroll bars pretty easily. But it does pass the ACID test. So, I mean, that's cool that they're actually improving a lot of things.
Yeah. That's one of the first things I saw. It was like announcements about IE8 is it passed the ACID test, so that's cool.
Yeah.
The smiley face.
Yeah.
And I think we mentioned that before, actually.
Yeah. So it's good that they're moving in the right direction, and it's not that long after IE7 was released that they're making another release. You know, what worried me is like, okay, well, it took them this long to get from IE6 to IE7. How long did it take to go from IE7 to IE8? It looks like they're dedicated to actually doing regular releases now.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised how soon it had came up. So but then I guess that's a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're worried about losing market share. You know, a lot of people are moving to Firefox, and this is the way to potentially keep them.
WebKit's the bomb.
It is. I like
Safari.
Yeah, I do like Safari.
You know, I use Firefox the most, and I have to use IE because. Well, I use Firefox the most because I'm a developer. I use IE a lot because I'm also, you know, for work, I'm in a Windows environment. But if I really had a choice and if I really had, like, some good development plugins and stuff, I'd use some kind of WebKit browser.
Yeah. Yeah, I like it. I think
that has the best rendering engine and everything.
Yeah, I mean, the font smoothing is really nice and, I don't know, it looks good.
Yeah.
I just recently switched to Mac, so I kind of learned the ways of WebKit.
Oh, yeah?
Yep.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm so sick of Windows.
Yeah. I mean, it took me a little while to figure it all out, but now it's like I still have my PC, and going back to it, I'm like, oh, can't believe it.
That's so funny.
I'm converted. You know, I use PC all my life, and now I'm like, oh, you should buy a Mac. That's what I tell everybody.
So my excuse has always been the software.
Yeah.
You know,
But there's,
if I switch to Mac, I'm gonna lose my you know, my Adobe Creative Suite CS3.
Yeah. No, that's true. I mean, you would have to buy new software, but most of the software does run. You can get from Mac nowadays, and also you could always dual boot, which isn't too hard, because now they're all Intel-based.
Oh, dude, that's right.
Yeah, so.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's pretty handy. Pretty handy.
Okay, well, let's move on. 11 good accessibility tips.
Yep, this is just something I saw on CSS Globe. Kind of a nice rundown of accessibility tips. Nothing hugely new, but there were some things that, you know, I hadn't thought of before. Like, make sure that two links next to each other, there's something separating them, because some screen readers will interpret them as one.
You know, that... I usually agree with that, unless, well, I guess it's debatable, but if you're using, and a lot of times, really, you should be using, and I don't think this is overkill, but you should be using an unordered list.
Yeah.
If you have some consecutive links.
Yeah.
And not even, you know, for like a main menu, but like, maybe you have another section in your site, you got two or three links, and if you use... If you use a list to make those links, then you're structurally already separating those links.
That's true.
So you don't need a pipe or anything in between, because you've already, you know, you've got it in the list.
Exactly.
So in that respect, I don't think, you know, you wouldn't have to use a separator.
Yeah. What is that
he's talking about? Just with, I think he's just talking about like with just straight text links, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so if you had a paragraph with maybe two links within the paragraph, and they're right next to each other, you said, well, make sure there's something there. I mean, you could potentially do a list there.
But. Yeah. Or if you got just a paragraph with two, like, short text links.
Yeah.
You know, to put a pipe in between or something like that.
Yeah, something other than just white space. So, and there's a couple other good things like meaningful links, you know, read full article instead of click here, you know, that sort of thing. Property
tables and yeah. Colors. I want to mention number 11, validate. Because if you're wondering what we were talking about before with all the web standards stuff, web standards and is a major factor with web accessibility. You know, there's a lot of crossover between usability, web standards, and accessibility. So his number 11 basically is about web standards. Validate. Validate your document to check for errors. Your document, you know, should validate, and you should have good code and use web standards, because that is a major player for web accessibility.
Exactly. So I guess the last one, South by Southwest, just recently happened. I didn't get to go. Did you?
No, I didn't go either.
Yeah.
I've never been.
Yeah, me either. Last year I said, okay, next year I'm definitely going. Came around time, and I realized, well, too many projects, not enough time, so.
Yeah, I'm just not in the situation to go right now.
Yeah.
Between between my professional life and my family and everything, it's just,
Yeah.
It sounds like a blast. I'm sure it is a blast. But especially since I'm in the Bay Area now, there's going to be a couple conferences coming up, you know, in the spring and summer that I'm going to try to get to. So
yeah. So yeah, there's other ones, but they had quite a few panels about accessibility, and they don't have them up yet, but they plan to put the podcast of all the panels up. So I just wanted to mention them just so that people who are interested could, you know, keep track of that and download the podcast as they're done. So.
And there's a few accessibility presentations, it looks like.
Yeah, there's some good ones. Accessible Rich Media by Sharon Rush. Sounds good. Targeting Your Website Accessibility Litigation Update, which is all about the Target lawsuit.
Oh, wow.
Catching Up with Accessibility, The Basics Quickly, which is Sean Henry.
Oh, with Sean Henry.
Yeah. And actually, somebody from Dell who attended it kind of blogged about a day that he went to all the accessibility events. So that was really cool. That on the Dell blog, there's a South by Southwest Day 3 focused on web accessibility where he kind of talks about everything that happened.
Oh, nice.
So that's pretty cool. You can kind of get somebody's, you know, ideas of what went on.
Excellent, excellent.
It's good to know that, you know, yeah, that people are still concerned about it and talking about it. It's coming up at all the conferences, even though they talk about it every year. It's not like people are forgetting.
Yeah, you know, it's, I mean, it's slowly, you know, getting more and more popular, so to speak. And I think it's pretty much made its way into the mainstream of web development.
Yep. Yep.
Finally.
Yes. We're trying to do our part, and hopefully everybody else is trying to do yours.
Well, I think the whole web standards thing has helped it out, too. You know,
people are
starting to figure out that, you know, web standards and accessibility are good because we want everybody to be able to access the site and use it, you know, in the same, you know, the most optimal way and everything. So,
yeah, it's to everybody's benefit.
Ah, good stuff, Ross. We went through a good list of information there. So anybody out there, if you got some comments, go ahead to webax.blogspot.com and let us know what you think.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. So that's it for WebAx Podcast 62, Web Accessibility in the News. And we'll catch you next time. The WebAx blog and podcast is located at webaxe.blogspot.com. webaxe.blogspot.com. Email webaxe@webaxe@gmail.com. webaxe@gmail.com. To leave a voice message, call 206-203-0585. WebAx is sponsored by Check Engine USA, website tune-ups and overhauls. www.checkengineusa.com.